This episode has been brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.
You are now tuned in into the Soul Sister Sunday podcast. My name is Kim.
My name is Jay, and we're your co-hosts for today's episode and every episode from Soul Sister Sunday.
We're coming to you with deep conversations, questions, and pondering the different wonders of life.
We're also coming to you with friendship, because Kim and I are great friends.
Stay tuned and enjoy.
And don't forget to subscribe, follow us on Instagram, leave us reviews. We appreciate all the love and support, and stay tuned for our episode.
Now, I remember last season we did a review of The Four Agreements, which is a book that we both loved. So do you want to tell the listeners what book review we're doing today?
Yes. So dear listeners, today we are doing a book review on The Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. Now, let's give them a little bit of a sneak peek into the background of how we decided to choose this book before we even get into the book.
During a conversation, you and I noticed that we didn't have a book review on our episode listing, and we did an episode of a review last season, so it makes sense to do one this season. Jay is a very avid book reader. She named about 10, 15 books, and I'm sitting here with a dunce cap because I didn't read any of them. And so her and I finally decided that The Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul would be a great review, seeing that it's a book that came out so long ago, and we are women. We're trying to navigate life with the obstacles and learning and all these different areas. So why not read this book as motivation and to hopefully find something we can relate to?
But don't forget, we also had a moment of uncertainty because we did come up with other books that we wanted to read. For the book review for a podcast season is very interesting, but this book review also encompasses how we are seeing our podcast and how we are seeing our growth in our podcast. For us to choose the book for our podcast also allowed for me to feel the growth and the spring in our podcast. So I'm really excited to do this book review. Listeners, I hope you guys enjoy this book. I hope you guys read some of these books that we will be talking about and some of these stories, because they're so beautiful.
I will say that the book was better than what I thought it would be. Now, I know there are so many different, I guess you can call it a series, because there's the woman's soul, the teenage soul, preteen soul, all these different souls that these chicken soup books cater to. And I think that's lovely. However, it can be a lot. I guess I'll say that it can be a lot, but it's worth it. I'm very happy we got to read this book together. So let's get into it, Jay. Did you like the book?
Yeah, I love this book. As much as I hear you saying it's too much sometimes, I'm going to have discernment. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Don Miguel Ruiz into this conversation. Because, listeners, this is one of my favorite series ever. I love Chicken Soup books. They are filled with stories of people and their experiences and their perception on their experiences. And it allows you to feel a full 360 of life in a book. And for me, as a reader, I find that to be so valuable. I would not always agree with the characters in the stories. I would not be happy for them. I will feel the emotions that they are feeling. I will be against what they are feeling or going through. But it still makes me feel so alive in reading this, in hallucinating as I am looking at a dead tree. But yes, I loved it.
I can't say I loved it. However, I liked it and really enjoyed it. This book almost reminds me of a book that you read when you're feeling down, or a book that you can read when you want a pick-me-up or a funny story or something that you could relate to. I don't want to compare it to the Bible. However, I would read it in that style. Most people don't read the Bible all in one day. Most people. This is the type of book that I wouldn't read all in one day. I would probably pick it up if I'm going through a hard time about my confidence. Maybe read a story from the confidence section. Or if there's a day where I just don't feel too happy about motherhood, pick up the book and read a couple stories about motherhood. I see it being that type of book for me. However, I am glad that I have it. And I do see myself passing this book along to another woman in a way to just give them something to make them feel better.
I like that you brought it up. For listeners that have not come across this series. The Chicken Soup is a series that has many short stories by different people on different topics. And this specific book that we are talking about today has topics on love, on attitude and self-esteem, overcoming obstacles, on marriage, on motherhood, special moments, live your life, on aging, higher wisdom, and across generations. So those are the topics. And within those topics, there are different stories. Some are poems, some are very, very short stories, some are longer, up to 3 pages long of someone's experience dealing with the topic. So when I hear you, Kim, say that you pick it up and choose a story, I think that's what it was meant. And for me, I try my best not to, because I love reading it from beginning to end just to follow the trajectory of the book. But I remember as a kid choosing what I was having struggles with or what I wanted to learn more about in terms of experience and reading it in the Chicken Soup book series that was not for the woman's soul, but it was for the teen soul, from what I remember, or it was on Tough Things or something like that.
Well, before we get into how we get introduced to the stories or how we get introduced to the book, is there something that you would do differently with this book?
What do you mean?
Well, I guess I want to ask, do you think the book is missing something? Are there some stories that you would have took out, or maybe a couple stories you would have added? In between, there's little comic strips. Would you have added more of that? Anything you think this book may have been missing?
Okay, so now we're getting to the critique of the book, I see. Yes, I would, actually. I think the Black and brown voice is missing from this book. The differences in those voices is missing. I don't know if I necessarily appreciate that so much. Now, listeners, this book was made a long time ago, and it has stories from the 80s, from the 90s, of people's experiences. But yet and still, there is so much whitewashing happening in these stories that as an adult reading this, I feel made invisible. I feel that my history, my people's history, has been made invisible because they don't talk about it. And maybe they do in part two, but I highly doubt that. What do you think?
I am so glad you said that. I thought it was just me being too picky or me trying to make it black and white. But there were quite a few stories where I felt like the white privilege was showing. I don't want to give too much away, but in one story, it talks about wanting to live their dreams and being told they can't. However, they met someone that told them they have all these opportunities and they can do this and do that. Do you know how many times as a little Black girl I had dreams and people told me no and left it at no? Nobody gave me that encouraging word. People made it seem as though wanting to do certain things was not possible for me. So reading that book, I get it. It was sweet. I liked the message that came from it, but that is not the story for so many Black and brown women. So yes, all that to say, include more of that in a classy way. Include more things that we would find relatable.
Now, I'm gonna push back a little bit because we do have to show grace, right? This book is old.
It is so. It came out back in early 90s. And at the time in the early 90s, Black and brown people didn't get included in things like this. So I did take that into consideration. I know how that world was back then, even in TV shows back then. Look at Seinfeld. Was a hit series, had all these episodes. People loved it. And there were maybe 3 or 4 episodes that had a Black person in it. And he was just there for 10, 15 minutes and was out the rest of the episode. So in the 90s, things like that were very normal.
Yeah. Another issue that I had with this book, even though there are some Black known voices, I don't feel that they're genuine in their expression in the book. I have read other things by Oprah, who was in the book. Her name is in here, and they used it as marketing. I have read other things by her that have felt more genuine and more real to her experience. But her, was it a poem or I forgot what it was, her item in the book just felt so disingenuous and it felt so whitewashed. I will continue using the word whitewashed because it felt that way.
You know what? Now that you said that, it makes sense now. There was Oprah, there was Maya Angelou, the typical Black people they used back then to bring in attention were in that book. And like we both said already, there were some stories that felt as if it was coming from, I want to say almost like they minimized themselves. If it was a Black woman speaking on her experience, what she was going through, it was minimized. And I get it's a short story and we have to keep it simple, but a little bit of that was missing.
Now, what else would you add or what else would you take away from the book?
I enjoy the comic strips in between, maybe add a few more comic strips. And it brought back a feeling of nostalgia for me because a few of the comic strips were comics I read as a kid. Family Circus, The Little Love Is characters. Seeing things like that gave me a warm feeling.
I agree. I keep going back to when I was younger, and I know we'll get to it, but that's one of the first things that I loved about the book were the comic strips. And I would start reading the comic strips first, and then I would go on to reading the story because I enjoyed looking at the comic strip. So definitely it took me back to my younger self and getting all into the details of the comic strips because I always thought they were so cute.
Now, we both have mentioned knowing about this book since we were younger, even being little girls reading different series of the book. How were you introduced to the Chicken Soup books?
I was introduced at a book fair, and I was introduced to the sparkling, crisp-cornered, a book lover's dream of an introduction to a book. I remember picking it up and thinking, chicken soup, like chicken noodle soup? And then the idea for the soul, for the teen soul, for the preteen soul, it felt so calling to me that I forgot which one it was that I read first, but I enjoyed the little stories. I enjoyed the big stories. I cried through many stories and I laughed. I felt all types of emotions that I enjoyed it. And those were probably one of my favorite books to read for a long time. But seeing it again as an adult definitely makes me feel so cozy and so fuzzy inside.
I was definitely introduced to the books at school. I remember seeing it in the school library. We would go once a week, check out a book, the whole process. And I didn't get it at first. The other girl I was friends with got the book. And after seeing her reading so many of them, I became interested. And so I started checking out the books. And I thought it was cute the way it has stories on different things about life. I did have a bad experience with the book, but we'll leave that for another time.
No, skirt. What do you mean you had a bad experience with the book?
Well, I shouldn't say with the book. It was a situation involving the book. So I was in fifth grade. It was towards the end of the school year. And I checked out one of the Chicken Soup's book. I don't know if it was for the woman's soul, the preteen soul, the kid's soul. It was for somebody's soul. I don't know who. And I renewed the book for another week because I wasn't done reading it. Then I renewed the book for a third week because another friend of mine in a different classroom wanted to read the book. So I was a child. I didn't know any better. I checked out the book again in my name, but I gave it to her. Now when it's time to return the book, she can't find it. I told the librarian, the book may have been misplaced, but I will find it for you and get it back to you. She was very understanding. Another week goes by. My friend still can't locate the book. It's getting towards the end of the school year. And there was this rule that if you had any books that had been checked out and not returned before the last day of school, you did not get your report card. Now I'm freaking out because if I go home without my final report card, my parents are going to be looking at me sideways. And it's all because I was trying to be nice to help someone read this book. I finally told my dad what happened. He wasn't too thrilled. I told the librarian and the teacher, and they tried to help confront the other girl to recover the book. When it's all said and done, I got my report card. I don't know if the girl ever had to pay for the book or she ever returned the book, but I almost did not get my report card because of that. So when I think of Chicken Soup, I think of that incident.
Oh my God. You need to write a story for Chicken Soup. You belong in part of the Chicken Soup series, Kimberly.
Maybe the section about overcoming obstacles?
Probably, or on friendship.
Well, lesson learned. All that to say, if they want the book, tell them to get it themselves. Don't get it for them.
That's a very interesting story. I never borrowed Chicken Soup books. I bought them, or I had my mom buy them, or whoever was in charge at that time. So I would have them for myself because I love them so much.
That's probably what I should have did too. Or now that I think about it, I could have just returned the book and then told her to go check it out when her class goes to the library. Now that I look back at it, all that could have been prevented. But you live and you learn. Moving on. So do you remember at what time the book became so popular? Because I kind of do.
I don't. But I know for me, it became popular when I was about fifth, sixth grade. That's when I started seeing it, and that's when I read it. By eighth grade, I had consumed every single story.
That's funny. Fifth, sixth grade, that may have been a year, early 2000s for sure. But for some reason, I remember being 7 or 8 years old. So that's the late 90s when I saw news articles and different segments on TV about the book.
Yes, and ads too that they would play to order the chicken soup book. I remember those ads. I don't know if you do.
I don't remember the ads so much, but I know at one point everybody and their mama wanted a chicken soup book. It blew up almost overnight. The book started being published early 90s, but by late 90s, if you didn't have a chicken soup book, you were living under a rock. You were a weirdo. You had to have the book.
That is so interesting because I didn't grow up in English speaking home. So there was no translation of it. And I don't even think there's a translation of it nowadays either. So that didn't apply in my reality. I didn't feel that craze. And that's why I say that I remember the commercials and then remember picking it up for myself because nobody was reading in English in my home other than me.
Well, let me ask you this. If there had been translated versions of the book, do you feel people in your home would have read it?
Yes, actually. There is a lot of TV shows in the Spanish networks that resemble the formatting of the book. And that's why I also love the book so much because it reminds me of those TV shows. And those TV shows talk about really heavy things. And they're short TV shows. They're like 20 minutes long, 30 minutes at top. So there's that resemblance. And my home would be consumed with that. So I remember when I first picked up the chicken soup book, thinking about that and thinking about how nice it would have been to share that experience. But I do know that there's similarity. And I know that it would have been love if people in my home actually like to read.
And you know what? I can see that almost being true for my home as well. Of course, it didn't have to be translated. But if people in my home were into reading or were more focused on finding different ways to uplift themselves and feel motivated, that book would have been in possession as well, besides just me from the school library. It would have been on our living room table for everyone to take part in. And that's a little sad that we didn't.
Yeah, as much as I'm hearing the sadness, I also hear the love of it. As much as we want to criticize the book for not having voices such as ours in it, we can change that. If there is a reboot or something similar to it, it will include our voices. It would include people like us. It would include our experiences. And I think about how my daughter sees me read it and I have this history with it. And one day she will pick it up. One day she will be curious of it and she will do what she does with it. And I can't wait to see that.
And I really hope that can happen. I think that'd be a beautiful experience and that'd be something that you both can talk about and exchange notes on. Will my daughter ever do it? Maybe. I do know at one point I was searching high and low for the Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul book around the time of her 13th birthday because I thought that it would have really helped her understand what she was going through. I couldn't find a book, but if I were to find it now, I would definitely give it to her and tell her hold on to it for a lifetime.
Ooh, girl, you should have called me. I would have had it in 3 seconds.
You know what? You would have. If you need a book, you call Jay.
You wanted hardcover, softcover? What you want? Spiral bounded? What you want?
Now, we both have the book, obviously. And I did a little bit more researching myself and I found the book on Audible, but it is different. So let's talk about the formatting of the book. You want to tell the listeners how our books are different or how they're the same?
Let's talk about Audible first, because I love Audible. If you are an avid book reader, I believe that you should have love for Audible books too. And I love Audible books. So when I was reading this book, I decided to download the book on Audible because I have an Audible account. And the Audible book itself skips so many stories that if you're listening to it on crackhead speed, it would take you about 30 minutes to get through the entire content of the Audible book version, but it's skipping so many stories. I wonder why that happened. Did they not get the right to the story for Audible purposes? interesting. Makes me wonder.
I noticed that too, and I did not like that. So I downloaded Audible. That's where I started it at first. Let's get that out the way. I had the idea. I'll start on Audible. If I can't find it on Audible, then I'll order the physical copy. I thought I did something wrong. I thought I was listening to the wrong goddamn book at one point, because it was an hour, maybe hour and a half of recording. And I'm sitting there thinking, that book was very thick. How did the Audible get through it in an hour and a half? And when I started looking at it, I said, well, I'll be damned. It's a shortened version of the book. That's not going to help. So that's what made me go get the physical copy. All that to say, I don't think Audible was being fair with that. And I know there's rules, there's laws, all these different parts to having a book on Audible, but they could have put a little bit more into it, in my opinion.
Or they could have added a disclaimer saying not all the stories that are in the book are here. I understand they're two different formats, but that should be considered illegal. How are you going to have a whole book and not have the whole full stories? If someone is visually impaired and they're using Audible to listen to these stories, they're not getting the full content of the stories. And that should be illegal. That there should be some laws against that. I was very upset with Audible because of that, because I got through the whole entire book in 30 minutes and I was shocked.
Yes, same. I felt disappointed. I won't say I was upset. However, going into it thinking I was getting one thing and got another was a bit of a letdown. And I went back through the Audible. I tried searching through the catalog. I tried typing it in different ways and the same book came up, which let me know that's all they have on Audible. Yeah, rubbed me the wrong way. But all that to say, I have the physical copy now. I have the full experience.
And she had the full experience. So, Kim, what issues did you have with formatting?
I don't even know if this counts as a formatting issue, but my book had quite a few typos.
I did not see those typos. I did not get those typos.
Okay, and that's strange. I don't know how this keeps happening to us. Even when we Google things, we end up on separate sides of the world. So maybe my book was in a version that didn't have as much editing done. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. We also had a differences of content in our books, and that is formatting issues because they don't have the same content. So in my book, they have about, let's see, 1, 2, 3 pages that include other books. So Lessons from Mom, Embracing Our Essence. Here they add more chicken soup book and they include the prices for them. So back in the day, the trade paperback was $12.95, the hardcover was $24, and the large print was $60.95. And they gave you a code that you could add to the pamphlet that they include in the book. So in my book, there was a business reply, no postage necessary, that you could fill up and have the newer books that are coming out. So it was a way of pre-selling the book through the one that you just bought. And Kim, you didn't have that in your book.
I did not. That was missing for some odd reason.
So the formatting definitely is very different between the book that I got versus the book that Kim got.
And what I also noticed too, going back to the version that is available on Audible, is shortened and it is somewhat out of order. So I was noticing when I was trying to follow along with Audible and my book, just to compare the two, I'm trying to think of how to describe this. Let's say, for example, chapter one has a story called Kim's Life, and it's the first book in the chapter. However, on Audible, it will read two other stories before that, then get to Kim's story. So even with that, it's scattered. It's not organized. It's not together the same way.
Yeah, the Audible version of the book felt very messy and it felt very uncared for. And it's quite sad for Chicken Soup to be treated this way on Audible. I will have to say that. I was very disappointed with Audible's version of the text.
I am too. Maybe Audible will, somebody at Audible will listen to this and go back to their team and fix it. You never know.
And give us our money back, because I did spend money on that.
I did not spend any money. I had, I think it's called the week trial, 14-day trial. My 14 days just expired yesterday, so now I got to pay for it. But originally, I did not pay, but I still want my money back too, because why not?
Yes.
Now, Jay, we have covered quite a bit about the book. Did you also know that there is a part 2 to the Women's Law?
I did, and I want to read it eventually. Like you said at the beginning of this review, that you felt that it was too much. I don't think that it's too much. I think that it takes a lot of emotional space for me to get through these books. So I don't read them too often. So I wouldn't read it right away, but I eventually will want to.
I feel the same way. The part two, I would feel, would have more stories, obviously, different parts of life. And I'm not quite sure of the year of the part two of the book getting released. However, it may give a bit more modern feel. Not too modern. Obviously, it's not a 2020 version. But even if the book was released in 2001 or 2002, some of those stories may feel a bit more up to date, which should be interesting to read. So if I were to come across that, I more than likely will check it out.
Now, do you think that they should make a reboot? I know we just talked about how the stories are a bit older, the perspective is a little outdated, the formatting needs help, Audible needs assistance, and Jesus. So do you think that a reboot would make sense?
Initially, I want to say yes. There is a small part of me that wants to say no. I would say yes because there are still stories out there that haven't been told that deserve to be told. And looking at the time frame, this book was published early 90s with stories from women from the 90s, 80s, 70s. Now, if there was a reboot, there'll be stories from the later 90s, the early 2000s, maybe some parts of the 80s that were missed. So it would be more well-rounded is what I want to say. And then also thinking about the way the world is set up now and what constitutes as a woman, there may be a need for stories about women who are transitioning or people who identify as women and what that really means to them. It would be a deeper dive. So a reboot would be cool, in my opinion.
Now, naturally, I am against reboots. And let me explain. I am against reboots because what's already done is done. If this book already had its hit, there's no need for more. Let it live its legacy. It already created its legacy. However, can there be another different version of it? A generation 2.0 of it? Yes. Learning from it, taking away what we love, having the people that love the series adapt to generation 2.0? Definitely. I would love to see, even if it's not called Chicken Soup, it could be called Chicken Stew. Or Chicken Salad for the Soul, you know, something different. So it can have that essence of not only rebirth, but understanding new perspectives. You just said it. Yes, there could be women that are non-binary. There could be women that are transitioning in and out of womanhood, but there could also be other souls. We have so many different experiences and different perspectives on how our soul identifies, that generation 2.0 can encompass all of those. And I would love to see that happen. And I would love to know that our voices are there. People who experience all types of lives need to be there. And I would really enjoy that type of book for sure. So Chicken Soup, y'all need to step up.
I will say this real quick before we move on to more of the book, but this book personally gave me a renewed sense of what's important in life, especially being a woman in my early 30s, trying to figure out my left and my right some days. I don't know if I'm going up or down. This book was almost comforting to me. So with the reboot, I would hope that other women of many different walks of life will have that sense as well. And as you mentioned, calling it Chicken Stew for the Soul makes me feel there will be more meat, there'll be more detail, there'll be more stories, there'll be more life in that book. So maybe that's something I'll look into.
Yes, yes, I agree with that, because as much as I love the book and the series, I do feel that sometimes it comes off a bit shallow. And maybe it's from the experiences that are missing from the book, but I don't know. I still feel that there is hunger there. After I'm done reading a story and it's a beautiful story and I'm crying, I still feel a bit hungry. And I would think that if there were a generation 2.0 or whatever you call a reboot, it would have more in depth. And I would love that. I truly would love that.
The only concern I would have if there was a reboot and it included more authors of the newer generations, I hate talking shit about people. I don't want to get on here sounding like the grumpy auntie. However, I feel like there'll be so many stories about heartbreaks and relationships and love. And I get that is an important part of life, but it's focused on too much. So if there were to be a rewrite or remake of this book, that section will be there, but I think it should stay small as it is now. We don't want to hear the constant boo-hoo, he left me, and this and that story. That's my only concern.
I agree. And I also know that the people that write into Chicken Soup are filtered. So yeah, better write well. Don't forget your periods, your commas, your semicolons, your dashes.
The editors will have a field day with these newer writings or these new writing styles.
Oh, can you imagine the comic strips? Instead of being comic strips, they'll be emojis. Oh, that'd be cute.
Emojis or even memes, probably different right? Funny memes.
Right? I am ready picturing it. Chicken Soup, you need to hire me and Kimberly. Okay, here we come.
It will definitely be an interesting revamp. Now, are you ready to dig in a few stories?
Yes. So now, listeners, this has been a book review, but we do have to dig into the actual book itself, right? So for this section, Kim and I both decided to read two separate stories. And because we both read the book from cover to cover, we can both talk about the stories. So Kim, what stories did you choose?
I'm not going to lie to you. It was hard for me to choose. But one story that stuck out to me and I saw there was a connection with the Four Agreements was in Chapter 7, Living Your Dreams. The story was called The Wind Beneath My Wings. Do you remember that story?
I do, but tell the listeners what it's about real quick. One, two sentences.
Oh gosh, I'll try to make it one or two sentences. There was a young girl who wanted to be a pilot. She was very interested in the airlines, airplanes, anything to do with aviation. However, during that time, that wasn't considered a woman's job. Her dad was discouraging about it. Her teacher at school told her that's not realistic and pretty much shattered her dreams. That made me think of the Four Agreements when he mentioned a little girl being shattered about her voice and singing because of what her mother said. Words are powerful. So all that to say, this little girl was crushed until she came across another teacher later in life who planted that seed back in her and gave her that push to do better and showed her that if you wanted, do it. It's not impossible. Make it happen. Just put the work in. And she later became a pilot and was able to live out her dreams. I thought that was a beautiful story. And it made me think so much of the Four Agreements in so many parts. Even though the story was maybe, what, two or three pages long? It covered so much that little girls go through.
Yes, I love that story. That story made me feel so happy and so joyful in that experience for her. I love that. And it did make me think about the Four Agreements. And it made me think about as a kid, how I was reading these stories that had so much wisdom in them as well. That made me really happy for my younger self. Now, what do you rate that story from 0 to 5?
I will give it a 4.5 only because I believe I was taking it a bit too personal when... In the book, it talked about having the potential and having these opportunities and pursue your dreams. Again, going back to the idea of Black and brown people being invisible in this book, had that been a little Black girl going through the same thing, she would have to fight twice as hard. She would have faced much more bullshit. And honestly, she may not have had the opportunity to live out her dreams. So I was thinking more about me when I was little and wanted to be a fashion designer. And people constantly made me feel as if I was stupid for wanting that. I had an idea what route to go. I had an idea what I had to do. But getting those resources was not as easy for me as my white or lighter skin counterparts. So just thinking of that and relating it to myself, that's why I give it 4.5. I feel that was one of the whitewashed stories.
Ooh, well, I apologize on the behalf of society that told you you couldn't be a fashion designer. You can definitely be a fashion designer. You would be the best fashion designer there is.
Oh, well, thank you. That makes 10-year-old Kim feel so much better. But all that to say, that's what I thought about when reading this book. I'm glad that she was able to do what she wanted to do. And she was able to pick herself up and gain that confidence and even fight through the discrimination she faced as a woman trying to get into the aviation lane. But it'll be a little different for me because I'm dark. So that's why I say, it's cute, but not too cute.
Yeah, it's cute, but not layered enough.
There we go. So what would you rate this story, 0 to 5?
I actually would rate it a 4. I agree with you. I did think that it was very whitewashed, but I also thought about the compelling story about being a girl and becoming a woman in society where it's dominated by patriarchy. And back in the day, I bet it was even heavier than it is nowadays. So to me, it felt encouraging and it felt, yeah, you can definitely do it if you have the people that are sent by God by you. Because as much as we want to say we can do things, we can do this if we have the right resources, blah, 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 you also have to have the right people in your corner that are cheering you on, that are speaking life into you and speaking desire into your goals. So to me, it made me think about my child. And it made me think about just me loving her and telling her, yeah, you can do anything you want. If you want to be an airplane pilot, you can do that. If you want to be an astronaut, you can do that. It made me really think about my kid. So definitely a 4. I didn't like the part where it was whitewashed. And I wished it would have gone a little bit more into detail about the challenges that she had as a woman in that field. But it's not perfect. So 4.
Okay, understandable.
So my story is from chapter 9, Higher Wisdom. And my story is the one that I loved and it made me cry is We Are Not Alone. So in this story, a woman loses her husband and has 3 younger children to take care of. And she has to go through the grieving process. She has to live her life with her husband gone, but she also has privilege. So let's call that out there too. She is able to hire help during the week while she goes to work, while she has to do things. But on the weekends, a dog visits her and comes in and helps with the kids and is there as presence until the housekeeper comes back and the babysitter comes back on Monday. I thought that was so interesting and so cute. And so this happens months and months and months until the woman says that she felt more empowered and more capable of dealing with her life without the assistance of the dog and his energy. She talks about the dog's presence as someone that was sent. And it made me really think about God and how God never leaves our side, even when we think that we are alone. And it made me think about my grief and how animals come to visit me and they just spark joy into my life. So I really like that story, even though it was very privileged.
I agree. I like that story too. I've noticed with many of the stories, they all have the, well, I don't want to say they all do, but many of the stories that involves a woman speaking on being a single mother is always the same format. It's not too often you hear about them going from good to really bad. It's just mostly a privileged situation, just to sum it up. But when reading that story, it made me think about how often people are sent to us in our time of need, and they can be considered our angels. She had the, like you said, the babysitter, the housekeeper, the little doggy that would come and keep them company until she found herself again. It made me think of the importance of having a team, even if the team is accidental. I'm sure she didn't purposely go look for this damn dog that started showing up at her house. But even having just a small team for a little bit of time can be so important to a person, regardless of what way of life they're living.
Yes, I think this whole entire book, as privileged as these motherfuckers are, and as tone deaf as they are, you can't help but feel some empathy, some sympathy, some emotion to their experience. And you can't help but cry in these stories that are so heartfelt, because that's one thing that they do so well, heartfelt stories.
Most definitely. I think that was one. It yanked at my heartstrings just a little bit, because I can imagine being a mother grieving while still trying to raise 3 children. That right there just sounds like a bunch of stress piled on top of your shoulders. I don't care who you are. You can be the richest woman in the world. You could be the poorest woman in the world. But having to deal with that, I feel for you. I do. So all that to say, it was a good story.
Okay, so what do I rate it, Kim? I would rate it a 4.5. just because of its privilege that it had all over it.
I would say, yeah, about a 4.5. Again, the privilege was there, but it was a cute story and it involved animals. I personally believe that some animals are meant to be with us to be that comfort. I dog sit 4 or 5 days a week, and the days that I do have the dog, I do feel as if my days are easier. I'm more active. I have someone to fuss at for a little bit when he's doing stupid shit. I have that bit of company. So because she had that too, I can relate. and there we are at a 4.
Okay, so what was your second story?
This is a story that made me cry, and I had to set the book down and take a breather. It's no secret I have older parents, my dad being very old, so I am a bit sensitive about that time coming for him. It was in chapter 10, Across the Generations. The title of the story is Tribute to Dad. And this woman named Deborah talks about her dad's passing, but she talks about it in a very positive way and mentions how he was such a good man, and she'll hold on to his memories. And even though it wasn't blasted for the world to see, he was still a good person around, and he did things for people, all around very good, honorable man. When I say I boo-hooed, I had to go for a walk. And I did not like that.
It is for the soul.
Okay, I get that being for the soul, but I'm not supposed to cry like this.
I think that's the beauty of books, though. I think that books are meant for you to feel emotion, that you're supposed to bring out your inner emotion, that you just don't want to talk to people about it. I really like this book because it does bring out those emotions, as hard as they are. I remember thinking that, and I remember reading this story and thinking about my dad and thinking about the opportunity that was taken from me when I didn't have that experience. And I also remember thinking, like, what would I have done, or what would I have had thought of him in that space? To me, it's beautiful to experience through someone else, but to me, it's a hole that is empty and there's nothing that can fill it. So to me, it was an emptiness that I felt when I read this story.
And I can see where that emptiness came from. And it made me think of our different situations with your dad. Or I'm sorry, not with your dad, but with our dad. You have a different story with your dad. This woman, Deborah, had a different story with her dad. I have a different story with my dad. It made me think of the way dads play a crucial part in a woman's life and how we don't really notice that until later on. You said it made you feel empty. I don't know what it did to me. It opened up a part of me that I didn't want open. And I could have left that shit closed. But it did make me think and make me realize things. And I am fortunate to still have my dad in his old age. As much anxiety it brings on me to have older parents, it made me realize too, I need to appreciate him more. I need to show him love more. Even if I have to go back home a couple times a month, just sit there with him and watch TV. That's a memory that I may not want to let go of. It put me in deep thought for a second.
Good. I think that's what it was supposed to do. I think that right there is the book giving you the penny's worth of itself. So I love that. I love that you had that experience, as hard as it sounds that it was for you emotionally. I think that it was a very transformative experience.
It is. So with all that in mind, on that scale from 0 to 5, I believe this is one of the stories I would give a 5 with tears rolling down my face.
Now, I'll let you have that 5. You go ahead and have that 5. I'll actually give that a 3. And I say 3? Yeah, and I say that just because of my experience. So I am being completely biased. I am being completely a Grinch. My experience, my feelings about it, my grief does not allow me to feel what you're feeling or feel about that situation. So I would just be transparent.
Okay, and that's very fair. Like I mentioned, we all have different experiences with different people, so it hits different for everybody. Now, what is another story you would like to mention?
I have 2 that I really want to talk about, but one of them is a little poem, and that's the Across the Generations, chapter 10, and Praise to the Woman on My Journey. I love that. As women, this is the best model to live by and to pass forward. It was a quick poem. It's just thinking. It's so reflective of a woman's journey that I think that it was the best poem to lead out the book with, that we can't not talk about it. So I loved it. It made me cry. It made me feel all kinds of emotions. And it made me feel more graceful towards the women that have wronged me, or that I felt wronged by in my life. And that's liberating as well.
I agree with you about the placement of the book. Putting it as the last story, and in my opinion, there was no privilege showing. There was nothing that nobody, especially a woman, can't relate to. It touched on parts in such a quick way that nobody really acknowledges when navigating womanhood. And it talks about having the grace for the women who wronged us, and being thankful for the women that taught us, and having that feeling of self-worth within us that we have to push out. I thought it was beautiful. That was probably one of my favorite poems in the book.
I agree. So that's why I say I have more stories that I want to talk about that I would love to talk about, but I'll save my choice for this one because I really felt seen. I felt my womanhood acknowledged. I felt those unspoken thoughts explained in this tiny little bit of a section. So I really enjoyed it. And if I had to rate it, I definitely would rate this a 5.
I would as well. I would give it a 5. To me, it felt like a hug.
While sure, reading did. This,
sure did. It may sound weird, but while reading this poem and reading it word for line and thinking about the women I know and the women I'm trying to become, I felt as if I had women around me just all embracing each other. And I like feeling like that instead of crying about sadness and things and trials and tribulations. Great closeout to the book.
For sure. That definitely made the statement of this book is for women. We are seen, we are heard, we are valued, we are loved. And here's the ginormous hug. And I do think that this book itself is a ginormous hug to women. I think the theory, the chicken soup series, is a big hug. Listeners, I challenge you to pick it up. If you want to be like him and read a few stories here and there whenever you want to, go for it. If you want to be like me and read the whole book, go for it too. It's your choice on how you choose to deal with this book, but we challenge you to read it for the summer, or read it for the spring, or read it for the winter. Read it for a season and see how that affects you.
I'm sure it will change the way they think, change the way they view things. And also, while reading this book, this may be me coming from my place of privilege, but I felt a sense of thankfulness that I am not experiencing or have experienced some of the things mentioned in the book. They talk about great losses, they talk about divorces, they talk about going through illnesses and having to regain their confidence with these illnesses. I haven't experienced anything as big as that. And even though I sympathize with them, I empathize with them, I love that they have the strength to tell their stories, I did have moments where I said, wow, I don't know if that could ever be me. Or thank goodness I don't have to go through that. So not coming from a place of cockiness, but just being more appreciative of the life that I do have.
Yes, that's definitely one thing that this series does for me as well. It brings me down, it grounds me, it allows me to be grateful, it allows me to see, it allows clarity to happen for me whenever I read this book. And I was reading it before we got to recording it, and I was crying because I was reading a story. So beautiful. I love this book. If you guys want to feel your feelings, if you want to be in touch with your experience and in touch with others' experience, because let's remember, I am you and you are I. As Don Miguel Ruiz says, we are all connected and our experiences are intertwined. And I love this book, if I can say that again. If you are taking shots to how many times I've said, I love this book. Are you drunk?
Drunk off knowledge and water, hopefully.
And wisdom and Jesus. All right, listeners. So this concludes our episode for today, our book review episode on Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul. I hope you guys check it out. Let us know if you like it. Let us know if you don't like it. Let us know if you guys think that it's whitewashed, just as we did. And let us know if you guys want a reboot or a revamp. Either or works for me.
We hope to do another book review in season 3. And of course, Jay and I will come together and come up with something. However, we are also very open to any suggestions. Do you want us to review another Chicken Soup book? Do you have a book in mind that you would like for us to check out? Let us know. Other than that, we appreciate all the love and support. We are still on TikTok. We are on Instagram. Feel free to like, comment, send us messages. As always, move in love, and we'll be back next time. Bye.
This episode is being brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.